Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, joined by Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We're very pleased to welcome our colleague David Albright, founder, president of the nonprofit Institute for Science and International Security. We go to a headline in Israel that is alarming, but then again, it reproduces the alarms of the 20th century. Iran building new nuclear research reactor in Isfahan. David, good evening to you. I recall that the reactor that led to the nuclear weapons program that led to the threats by North Korea, the original was a research reactor. Is this a window on how it's done? You call something research and suddenly you have a nuclear program. Good evening to you.
Good evening. I'm happy to be here. Yeah, a research reactor has in more than one case turned out to be the way a country wanted to make plutonium for nuclear weapons. India did it. North Korea did it. Taiwan was doing it. So these research reactors can be very dangerous. And I think this recent announcement, it just reaffirms that Iran is building up its nuclear capability. And in this case would say it hasn't closed the plutonium route to nuclear weapons. It may be looking to expand its capability to make plutonium in the future. I mean, it's an immediate threat is weapon-grade uranium, but most countries that develop nuclear weapons end up trying to produce both.
Malcolm?
So you see this as part of the larger picture of what of Iran's determination to get to a nuclear weapon and nuclear independence? But what do you see as the response from the West? We hear people saying that the deal is dead, the deal is alive, it's on its last breaths. Do you think that we have an alternative approach in the wings that the administration, together with Europeans, without the Europeans, is ready to implement?
I think an alternative approach is being developed. I mean, I think President Biden's trip to Israel, I think, legitimized that Israel could strike militarily if it feels its existence is threatened, namely by an Iranian effort to build nuclear weapons. I think that's a step forward. The contradiction to that is the administration's continual advocacy for renewing the deal, which if there was a deal, Israel couldn't strike, and yet Iran could move dangerously close in not maybe after a few years to again being having zero breakout timelines. But in that case, having a much stronger economy and a much stronger military, which would make a military strike by Israel much, much harder. So I think there's contradictions in the U.S. policy. And I think it would be better if the United States moved beyond this JCPOA to a strategy where one is it accepts that Israel may strike, it'll support it. It moves to trying to have a broader, stronger nuclear deal, and also a deal that starts to deal with Iran's missiles. It also makes sense that in the short run to support the International Atomic Energy Agency. They're sounding the alarm. Iran is in violation of its safeguards agreement. It has undeclared nuclear material. It's refusing to cooperate. It's time to send that issue to the UN Security Council and for our European partners to simply use the JCPOA, the nuclear deal snapback arrangement, to send another resolution to the Security Council that would snap back all the sanctions that were lifted as part of the JCPOA's implementation in 2016. So I think those two tracks are probably the highest priority to try to put pressure on Iran. Of course, if you're going to snap back, you're accepting that the JCPOA is no longer your goal. And I think that creates a problem for the administration. But I think It's a pathway that makes the most sense. And then to try to regroup, to try to renegotiate either or start a negotiation process to get a stronger, longer deal, and also to try to bring in these other issues that are so problematic, the very deadly missile forces that Iran has created, its drone attacks that have been very sophisticated. Those issues need to also be brought into negotiation to try to settle some of these issues that are frankly, from my point of view, going to lead to a war.
David, who benefits from the drawn out on again, off again, maybe not, of the negotiation? Is there a clear winner here?
I think the clear winner is Iran. I think the Europeans get something out of it, but it's not clear to me what beneficial things they get out of it. I mean, they're tied to this deal. They have a European Commission that doesn't have much else in terms of foreign policy other than the Iran deal, so they seem to hang on to it more than makes sense. But as the years click by, it's very hard to see how the Europeans benefit from this. I mean, I think that their actions are increasing the chance of war. They think that the deal will prevent war. I think that their actions are, as witnessed by Israeli statements, are leading Israel to think seriously about striking Iran with a massive military strike. And the JCPOA isn't going to stop that. So it could delay it, but it's not going to stop it.
Where do you think Russia is? You know, we talked, and I think John mentioned about going back to the sanctions. Is that really still a threat, given the fact that now they're working with Russia, China, bypassing the sanctions, maybe with Turkey too, allowing oil to be shipped, shipping from Russia by train through Iran to India? Is the sanction threat still a legitimate one?
Yeah, I think sanctions are very important, and enforcement of sanctions are critical. And the Biden administration doesn't really want to enforce the sanctions to the extent that's needed, which would be to have secondary sanctions on Russia and China, particularly on China. But sanctions haven't proven able to really convince or force Iran to make the hard decisions to cooperate with the inspectors fully, give up its enrichment program, or even stop its nuclear weapons efforts. So by themselves, it's just not enough. And that was part of the failure of what the Trump administration did, is it put all its eggs in the basket of sanctions, but didn't put enough eggs in the basket of military actions, of hard playing hardball with the Europeans to just say, look, you've got to walk away from this deal too. It didn't put enough in terms of building an international consensus that Iran needs to be further isolated. So I think the sanctions are a critical part of this, but much more needs to be done. And I think front and center is that Iran has to understand that it's facing a very real possibility of being struck militarily by Israel with the support of the United States. And I think the United States has got to move beyond this kind of almost obsession with reviving this JCPOA, which probably wouldn't have a lifetime of more than a few years. In any case, I mean, there's many reasons it can fall apart within 2 years, for example. And so then what do you have? You have the same process starting again, but you'd have Iran stronger militarily, stronger economically. It would take much more of a military attack from Israel to significantly set back the program. Iran would be more resistant to negotiations. So it seems like now is the time to really bore down into creating the additional threats, pressure, and the opportunity to negotiate a deal more in the interest of the United States, and at the same time offer Iran more relief from sanctions, more integration into the international community. But that negotiation is going to also have to include real assurances that they don't have a nuclear weapons program, which the JCPOA never did.
David Albright is a physicist, founder, president of the nonprofit Institute for Science and International Security based in Washington. Malcolm Honlein, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. R-I-T-E-R-U-G.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.